Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes Vav. And we begin on Kuf Tes Vav of an Aleph, about 8 lines from the top. Amar Ravina, Ravina tells us, Amar Rav Masharsha, Bereid Rav Nosson. Ravina says that he spoke with Rav Masharsha, Bereid Rav Nosson, who told him, Hochi Omar Hillel Mishmei de Gemara. This is what, in fact, Hillel said to him in the name of the Gemara. Mishmei de Gemara means it's a Mesorah that he had from his Rabbeim, from their Rabbeim, and onwards. Now, which Hillel is this? So we're going to learn about the famous member of Korach in a few moments with Hillel HaKzokin, the great Hillel, well, Hillel Shammai, that Hillel, and this is not that Hillel. This is a great, 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 many great, great grandsons later. He's a 10th generation descendant of the Tana Hillel HaKzokin, Hillel, and he is now telling us what years later what the Masorah was. That's why it says Mishmei de Gemara in the name of his Elta Elta Zayd. In any event, he says as follows: Lo nichroch inish matzah umorer bahade hadode v'necho. A person should not go and wrap up the matzah and the morer together with each other and eat them the way we do in Korach, because he says mishum the svirlo nowadays matzah bisman hazeh doraisa. The mitzvah of eating matzah, as we mentioned already, even nowadays without Nebuchadnezzar Beis HaMikdash, without the Korban Pesach, is still a mitzvah doraisa. However, the morer nowadays is only mitzvah derabbanon, and therefore, if you were to wrap the matzah and the morer together, ase morer derabbanon umivatalei lematzah doraisa, the morer that is only a mitzvah derabbanon, so it nullifies, it would make it that you're not tasting the matzah as you're eating the matzah. And therefore, we do not do this korech that his Elta Zay, the Hillel, did in the times of the Beis HaMikdash when he was korech, Pesach, matzah, and morer together. Now, he says this is true. Afilu l'man d'omar mitzvahs enu v'atl zuzu. The word v'afilu will have to be explained in a moment. It says, even according to the one who says that mitzvahs are not able to be mivat to one another, that opinion says, hani mili, daraisa b'daraisa, the rabbanim b'darabanim. When we say that one mitzvah doesn't mivatal another mitzvah, that's just on the same level. They're both daraisas, or they're both darabanans. However, avol daraisa or darabanan, in this situation, with the mitzvah of matzah is daraisa, the mitzvah of darabanan of marar, it can be mivatal. Also, darabanan, the mitzvah of marar, which is only darabanan, mivatal le daraisa, and can be mivatal the daraisa mitzvah of eating the matzah. As Rashbam says, you won't have the tam of the matzah d'oraisa, and therefore you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. Mara says, Man Tana, the Shamas Le Mitzvahs Ein Levatn Zuzu, who is the author that says that this is the halacha, that one mitzvah is not mevatel one to the other? That's his Elta Elta Zayde, Hillel. This is Hillel HaZokin, Hillel who? The Tanya, because you learned in a braisa, Amru Olav Al Hillel, they said about the great Hillel, he was korech, he wrapped, he made a sandwich of the Pesach, the matzah, and the marah all together, and he ate them all together. He didn't eat them separately, he ate them all together. Shenemar, based upon the pasuk that says, Amatzos umrorim yochluhu. This is a pasuk from Bamidbar. There is a separate pasuk that's very similar to this that is from Shemos. So this pasuk, Amatzos umrorim yochluhu, means that you have to eat them all together. Yochluhu, you shall eat them all together. And therefore, when they're all on a daraisa level, one is not mevatel the other. But nowadays, since unfortunately we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore the morer is only midrabbanan, so therefore it could be mevatel one to the other. They're only not mevatelos each other, as we just said, when they're on the same level. Mora says, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that this was Hillel's opinion. However, Cholkin Olav Chaveirov Al Hillel. But the other Tanoim disagreed with Hillel. The Tanya, because they said, Yochol Ye Karcha Mevatzachos Yochol Kiderach Shehillel Ochol. And they said, people might think that what Hillel did is correct, that you're supposed to wrap the Pesach, the Matzah, the Marah all together in a sandwich and eat them all simultaneously together. They say, no, that's not true. Tamaloma, they quote the same Pasuk, according to some, from Bamidbar, or the Runsberg brings down that they're quoting the pasuk from Shemos, which says umatzos amarorim yochluhu. In any event, Rav Yochanan says that the other Tanaim held that means afilu zeh bifnei atzmo v'zeh bifnei atzmo, that even if you eat them each one by itself, you're going to be yotzei. But that doesn't make any sense. Where it says, what do you tell me? Even afilu zeh bifnei atzmo, zeh bifnei atzmo. They're saying that they disagree with Hillel. implying that you can't eat them together. So what does it mean? Afilu zebifni atzmo vzebifni atzmo. So that's what Maskev lo Ravashi. Ravashi says, Ihachi, my afilu. This word afilu doesn't make any sense over here. Afilu zebifni atzmo vzebifni atzmo implies that, okay, it's also good if you eat them separately. That implies that they also agree that you're supposed to eat them together. Sounds like a kasha or a disagreement with Hillel. So Gemara says, Elom Ravashi. Ravashi says, this is the way you have to read this braisa. In fact, it agrees with Hillel. It doesn't disagree with Hillel that Hillel is acceptable. That way is acceptable. Everybody holds that the mitzvos are not going to be mevatel each other if they're on the same level. Elom Ravashi, Haitano Hochitoni, this is the way you read the braisa. You might have thought that that's the only acceptable way to go and eat the carbon, pass out the matzah and the morah. You must wrap them all together and eat them all simultaneously. That's what I might have thought. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have the pasuk, Amatzos Umrorim Yochluhu, to teach us that Afilu Zebifnei Atzmo Zebifnei Atzmo, you're still going to be Yotze. So the way the Braitzer comes along is it doesn't argue with Hillel, it agrees with Hillel, but then it adds on in saying that even if you don't do it like Hillel, you're Yotze. How do we pasuk it? Do we pasuk it, you must do it like Hillel? Or do we pasuk it like this Braitzer? It says, yeah, you should do it like Hillel if you want, or you can do it not like Hillel if you want. Since we never came to a clear-cut psach that the halacha is like Hillel, that you must wrap them together, or the halacha is that if you don't want to wrap them together, you can eat them separately. So what's the common practice? So Gemara says we do both. First, al achiles matzah, like we do v'ochel. So first we take out the matzah alone, and we make the bracha al achiles matzah, we eat the matzah. Then we take v'hador mivarech alachiles mora. We take the mora separately and we eat the mora of ochel. We make the bracha alachiles mora and we eat the mora. And then we fulfill Hillel in case that's the only way that you can be yotze. V'hador ochel matzah v'chasa v'hadi adade. Now we don't have the korban pesach, so we eat the matzah and the mora together, but we don't make a bracha below bracha because mimarushach, the bracha that we just made before, is going to be either we were yotze with it already or it's going on what we're doing right now in suffik brachos lahakto, since we're not sure what we yotze or not. So the maisa we do again, but the bracha, as we find in many things, we don't do again. And we say, zeicher lemikdash, this is a zeicher to the way they did it in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, with the pesach, matzah, mora together. So we eat the matzah and the mora together, kehillel, like Hillel's opinion was. And the Rashbam brings down specifically that this was Kemosha Hillel Oseb Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, that this is the way Hillel actually did it when they ate the carbon Pesach. He didn't eat them separately. He ate the Pesach, the matzah, more together. Why do we do it in this order? Why don't we do Hillel first and then the matzah separately and then the mora separately? So Tosus explains in Dira Masul El Mavarech Amatzah, and he says, if you did like Hillel first, then we have to be concerned that maybe the Mora de Rabbanon, like Hillel, the great-great-grandson said, the Amora Hillel said, Mishmei de Gemara, that it would be Mevatelet. And therefore, then you'd have the same problem the other way around. You're already fulfilling the mitzvah of the matzah, so you no longer can say that the mitzvah d'oraisa is not going to be docha the mitzvah d'rabbanan. Now it's matzah rishus, so to say, since you already fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah, so now the matzah that you're eating with the morah, if you just went and had matzah first and then matzah and morah together like Hillel and skipped the morah alone, so then you have the problem that maybe the matzah is now a rishus, since you're already yotzei, is going to be mevatel the morah. So that's why you have to eat the matzah first alone, then you eat the morah first alone, and then you do like Hillel. So mimano shoch yotzei no matter what. Then he more continues and tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. We've had this combination of Rabbi Elazar saying the name of Rabbi Hoshaya many, many times already here in the last parak in the Masechta. So Rabbi Elazar says the name of Rabbi Hoshaya, Kol shetibu lo b'mashke tzorich netila asir dayim. Now here we go into a new discussion where we're dealing with Tumah that we're not used to and familiar with today. We do certain things as a remnant, a reminder of the strict, strict dinim of Tumah and Tara that they were dealing with on a daily basis. From here, we're going to know this as well. Remember, we learned in Brachos, in the days of Chizkiah, that even a child of 5 or 6 knew all these dinim of Tumah and Tara called, because these were very, very, very practical dinim. They needed to know every day what they're touching. Is it making their hands tummy? Is it making their truma, their mice, their kachim tummy? So these were very practical dinim. For us, they're unfortunately not really very much halacha l'maisa. And therefore, this is all foreign to us. That's why I'll try to explain what we're talking about here. So Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Hoshaya said that when you dip something in a mashke, you have to wash your hands first. So if you take vegetables and you dip them into salt water, why do we wash our hands? So the reason is it's a remnant back from the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when we were dealing with Toma and Tara, and on Pesach night, we're supposed to imagine ourselves like Hilu, we're actually eating the carbon Pesach, and we're coming out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, we do things that are a remnant back to the days of Toma and Tara. So therefore, when you would normally have your hands, which are Stam Yodayim or Shnios Hain, your plain hands without having washed them, we presume that they've touched places, and they therefore have the status of being a Sheni, and they can be what we call Posel Truma, that can turn Truma into a Shlishi. When your hands, which are a sheni, touch truma, so they turn that truma into a shlishi. And therefore, if you don't wash your hands, you're going to have a problem of turning the truma into a shlishi. So, when your hands are always a sheni and they touch a liquid, there is a din that the liquid becomes a rishon. So there is a concern here that if your hands are going to touch the liquid, they're going to turn that liquid into a rishon, and then that liquid is going to be metame, the karpas, the vegetable that you're dipping into, or whatever food you're dipping into. And therefore, anytime your hands are going to come into contact with a mashke, which would make that mashke from your hands into a rishon, so then any food that rishon touches would become a sheni, so therefore, wash your hands, and this way your hands won't be a sheni. And that's why kosher tibul b'mashke, whenever you stick your hands into a liquid, you must first do netilas yadayim, otherwise that liquid is going to be metame the food. Now here, we're talking about that you're dipping something into this liquid, so therefore the item that you're dipping in there will become tame from the liquid, which became tame from your hands, therefore do netilas yadayim in your hand, and that's why we do netilas yadayim before the karpas. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, Shmami no, you see from here, this lettuce, haichasa, the romaine lettuce that you're using, or the maror that you're doing for karpas. Here we're assuming that you're using this for karpas. Sarich l'shakuye b'charoses, you have to dip it into charoses. Now, we don't dip that karpas into charoses, we dip the maror later on into charoses, so the same din applies there, but even in regards to the karpas into the salt water, which is what we do, so the word charoses, the Bach tells us, can be used as something, a generic name for a dip. So therefore, the charoses here, lav dafka, means charoses when you're dealing with the karpas, albeit it does definitely mean the charoses when you're dealing with the mora, the chasa, when you're dipping the chasa into the charoses for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating the mora. So in any event, Rabbah is telling us over here that you obviously see from here that when you're dipping the karpas into the salt water, or when you're dipping the maror into the charoses, you have to totally dip the maror into the charoses, mishum kapa. When you're doing it with the maror, you're dipping it into the charoses all the way in. You must really totally put it inside. Shakui means to like immerse it inside the charoses. Now, the charoses, you're going to say, is a solid. So how come there's this problem? It's not a liquid. So we're going to learn later on that the charoses is certainly made is to a solid to make it thick. But then the minhag is that you add the wine as zechel adam to the charoses, and you make, right before you dip into the charoses, you're supposed to add wine to it, and then you're really dipping it into a liquid. And that's what they're referring to over here. Tzarech l'shakuya b'charoses, you must immerse it in the charoses because this kappa. We're going to see that the kappa, there are two definitions, we'll have this a little later on in the shir, that there are two definitions for the kappa. The Rashbam brings down over here that it is either that the chasa, the chazeretz, yeshbo eretz, has some sort of a poison inside of it, kiderech habetzolim, similar to what they apparently had with onions, and therefore you needed to do over here dipping into the charoses to get rid of this poison and somehow nullify the poison. That's teretz number one, or explanation number one of what kappa is. Rabbeinu Chananel, as you can see this in Tosos over here as well, quoted by both the Rashbam and by Tosos, Pirish Kappa is a tolas, a certain type of an insect that would be found here. And Tosos explains that we're not concerned here with eating an insect because it was very rare that it actually was found, and therefore you didn't have to be concerned with this. Of course, if you saw it, you'd have to be concerned with it, but if you didn't see it, you didn't have to be concerned with it. But the sakana aspect, the sakanta, is greater than Isura. As we have the expression, chamira sakanta meisura, that the concern for a danger is much more than the actual halachic ramifications. So I always use the example with arsenic. So we wouldn't say batul b'shishim. You wouldn't say, well, it's halachically not considered anything if you have 60 against it. No, it's not going to be batul with anything. So when you're dealing with a sakana, like the tolas, so even though you don't have to be concerned about it from an iser point of view, from a sakana point of view, Tosafot says you have to be concerned about it. In any event, that's why we dip the maror, the chasa, into the charoses. They asked the interesting question, but it's Leil Shimurim. So how come we have to be concerned about something like this on Leil Shimurim? So they bring down a couple of answers. One of them is, wherever there's a chance of hezek happening, shchicha hezekah, if it's likely that it could happen, so then you have to be concerned about it. So you can't rely upon Leil Shimurim for something that's shchiach. You can't, in a bad neighborhood, you can't leave your doors open. There was a minhag that they would leave their doors open on Leil Pesach, on the night of the Seder, that they wouldn't lock the doors that night. But if you live in a bad neighborhood, you can't do that. So to over here, you have to be concerned about the poison of this kappa. Alternatively, the answer is that since the Satan would be merakate on this night, looking for people to get into trouble, so if anybody did ever die from the eating of this maror because of the kappa, so then it would be a tremendous chilul Hashem. So therefore, we don't take any chances, and we dip the maror into the chairosis. In any event, the Gemara says, if you didn't do this, the isoka daitach lo tzorich l'shakuye, if you didn't go and dip, if you didn't have to go and dip the maror into the chairosis, so then, netilas sedayim lomeli. So why do we have to wash our hands for the pre-dipping either the karpas into the salt water, or we wash our hands a second time with the motzi matzah, but that also goes on the dipping the maror into the chairosis at that point in the Seder. So the isoka daitach lo tzorich l'shakuye, if you don't have to go dip it in, so the netilas sedayim lomeli, halonoga, why do you have to? Because your hands aren't touching the liquid, so normally we don't wash our hands. When you eat a dry vegetable, you don't have to wash your hands, so obviously it must be that you must immerse the karpas into the salt water, you must immerse the maror into the chairosis. That must be the proof, because you have to do netilas sedayim. Gemara says, maybe not. In fact, you don't have to go and immerse it. No, how will it kill the kappa? The kappa may recha mayis. If it's an insect, the smell of the chairosis, you don't have to even dip it in, just the smell of the chairosis will somehow either kill this tolas or it will nullify the poison, whichever one of the two pshatim we say the kappa is. So then why do you have to do the washing of the hands? If you're not touching it, you shouldn't have to wash your hands. So the Gemara says, Xera, Elaloma, Levin Tilas Yadayim, Dilma, Mishakule. Because even though you don't have to, so Rapapa's statement that Tzorich Shakuya Bacharosis is incorrect, maybe technically you don't have to. So why we wash your hands? Because we're concerned that even though you don't have to, you may come to touch the water and be metame, the karpas, or the chasa with your Yadayim, the Doshnios, if you didn't wash your hands beforehand. That Gemara says, another statement for Rapapa, V'yomer Rapapa, lo nishe inish mora b'chairosis, a person shouldn't go and leave the mora inside the chairosis. Duma agav chaye de tavlin mevatale limerore. There is a din that you're supposed to taste the bitterness of the mora, and therefore, if you leave the mora in the chairosis for a while, so the delicious sweetness of the apples and the other things that are there that are chayy, that are sweet, and the tavlin, the other spices, the cinnamon and other things in there are going to nullify the bitter taste of the marah, uboinon tam marah, and you must have the bitter taste of the marah in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Just like we said, you have to taste the matzah, so you too, you have to taste the marah. And therefore, if you have it in the chairosis too much, veleka, you won't have the bitter taste of the marah. That's why people don't realize, sometimes people take a lot of chairosis with their marah, so that's really incorrect. You're supposed to dip the marah into the chairosis, and then you wipe off the chairosis, and you just have a little bit of a remnant of the taste of the chairosis there, not enough to be mevato, the quote, bitter taste of the marah. Many people then ask, well, the romaine lettuce really don't have a bitter taste, so the mefarshim bring down that it has originally a bitter taste, and that bitter taste, even if it does go away, so then you're still fulfilling it by tasting the maror, even though you're not really tasting the bitterness of the taste. Gemara continues this discussion and says, Ad brei Rav Chista l'Rabbanu ukvud v'dorash. So Ad brei is an expression we have many times in the Gemara. It means he escorted, he brought. So Rav Chista, who was the god of Ladar, he brought Rabbanu ukva to allow him to give the drasha, and Rabbanu Okva gave the following drasha. He says, Notal yodov betibul rishon. If you go and wash the hands for tibul rishon, that's the first dipping, which is the karpas into the salt water. So then, notal yodov betibul sheni. You have to go and wash your hands a second time when you dip the chasa, the lettuce, whatever you're using for maror, into the chairosis. So that's the din. That's hitzot. You have to wash your hands twice. First time is we do it without a bracha, because it's really only a remnant to this din, so therefore we don't make a bracha. The second time we make a bracha, because that's because we're making the motzi matzah. We're going to make the bracha on the pas, on the matzah, and therefore we always wash our hands for that. That's not a remnant to the original din only. That's an actual din. The Chazal said that we make a bracha al mechila sedayim. So in any event, there's the two dippings. That's what Rabbanu Ukva taught. They said this din over. Amru Rabbanan kamei rapapa. They told over the shir. They had heard Rabbanu Ukva give, and they said that when Rabbanu Ukva said this din, that you have to wash your hands twice, so the Tamidim that were talking to Rapapa, that heard the shir, they said, Haba Almeitmar, they said he wasn't talking about the Seder night, he was talking about in general, that a person has to go and wash his hands if he changes his mind, because people normally don't have vegetables twice. They have vegetables the first time, and then they wash their hands for the vegetables, and then if they bring out vegetables a second time, so they had no hava, meaning that they were going to have those vegetables, so they have to wash their hands, because we have to presume they had a hesach hadas from the original washing of the hands. That's what they understood Rabbanu Ukva was talking about. And they explained, the Yisalka Daitachit, in fact, you would think that Rabbanu Ukva was talking about Hachid, that he's talking about the Leil Seder, that he was talking about the Karpas and the Chasa, dipped into the salt water and the charosis respectively. So then, then why do you have to wash your hands twice? When you're dipping the karpas into the salt water, you know that you're going to dip later on the chasa into the charosis, and therefore, why should you have to wash your hands a second time? You already washed your hands the first time. So, you already washed your hands once. So that's what they wanted to explain to Rapapa. That's how they understood the shir from Rabbanu Ukva. But Rapapa said, no, that's not right. Amaluhu Rapapa. Rapapa told these Talmidim, no, Adarapa, the exact opposite. Hocha Itmar, this is, in fact, what Rabbanu Ukva was talking about here on the night of the Seder. These Soka Daitoch Bi'alma Itmar, you're telling me that he's talking about a regular Tuesday night the rest of the year. So Lomali Trey Tebule, why would you have to dip twice? The person eats two vegetables. So the first vegetable, he washed his hands once, and then the second vegetable, his hands, he's still clean. He hasn't had Esach Hadas. So obviously, he must be talking about, when do you do two dippings? On the night of Pesach, so therefore you need two washings. Gemara says, but wait, that's still the original question that the Talmidim had, really is a good question. Elamai, according to Rapapa, Hochit, are you talking that Rabbanu Ukva gave his shir about the Seder? So then, Netila Sedaim, Trezim Elomali, their original question, why they thought he wasn't talking about the Seder, is a very good question. When you're washing your hands for the karpas, so you know that the chas is coming on later on. The mara is going to be there later on. So why can't the original washing for the karpas also negate you having to wash your hands again for the mara? Again, ha mosha le yode chodesim. You already washed your hands once. So Amre, so the Gemara answers, no. Kivan de boy le meimar agarita. Since you're going to say the hagada, agarita here doesn't mean agarita, it means the hagada. We always use the lashon v'igadita lebincha, and that's why we call it the Haggadah. There's the mitzvah, the overriding mitzvah, if you wish, of Pesach night, the Leil Seder, is to transfer over our Masorah to our children, to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Kanayin Haru, those who are fortunate to have. And therefore, when you're saying the Haggadah, it's not a two-second thing, and therefore there's no Hesach Hadas. The Haggadah takes a while to say all the vertlach that the children have, to say your own Divrei Torah, to discuss various discussions about what the Haggadah means to people, especially people that we still have alive, a few people that live through the Shoah. So they have their own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim, to let them tell their story and to let them say over their Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's part of the Haggadah. So therefore, Kivan Deboy Lememar Agarita and the Halela, and we also say the Hala, and we say all the other Kapitloch that we say. So therefore, the concern is Dilma. Or some would say over here, Dilma, like we had the other day, it means vaday, not maybe. Vaday, asuche, aschei, ledaite. You definitely touched yourself in some places in Noga, touched yourself in a place where you have to wash the Tilas Yadayim again. And that's why we vaday, wash the Tilas Yadayim again with a bracha, because we're certain that asuche, aschei, ledaite, v'noga. You definitely touched some place that makes you have to wash your hands again. And therefore, while if you know that you didn't have a Hesach Hadas, you wouldn't have to go and wash again. But we're concerned that you did have Hesach Hadas, and that's why we wash both for the karpas, albeit there without a bracha, because that's really just a remnant of the din, and then we're washed by the motzi matzah, which Tosus points out. That's what it means. This tibul sheni is lav davka. In Tosus Diva Maskel Tzarech, he says, lav davka nokat betibul sheni, da ovid le basa hamotzi. This is the washing that we do for the hamotzi. When you wash for hamotzi, you should also realize you're also washing for the maror. Mark continues and says, Amar Rava, another statement that Rava made, bala matzah yotza. If a person swallowed the matzah, Rashbam explains, Bala Matzah, the low loasa, he didn't chew it. Nevertheless, Yotza, you still fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. Shari Kiyem, but Erev Tochlu Matzos, because if you swallow something whole, it's called eating as well. Shari Achila, he lo. This is still considered an Achila. However, Lemaisa, Umiyu Lechatchila, Tam Matzah Bo'inon. Ideally, one should chew the matzah and taste the matzah. That's also part of the mitzvah, albeit it's not Ma'akev. So Rava tells us, if you just swallow the matzah whole, without chewing it, so you're in a rush sometimes to eat the kizayis, and they have such large shiurim, and they just swallow without tasting it, so that's not really ideal, but you are yotze. As opposed to bala maror, if you swallow the maror without tasting it, lo yotzu. If you don't chew the maror, and you don't taste the bitterness of the maror, you're not yotze. As the Rashbam explains, the bo'in on tam maror, that's an essential part of the mitzvah to taste the maror. The lack of, you swallow it whole, you don't have it. Mishum hochi, kopid rachmona, lemarer es piv, shel ochel zeche, levayim moreru es chayehem. The whole idea of the maror is to remind us of how bitter it was in Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's what the Rashbam says, kach motzosi kosum chol svar. That's the reason why you must taste the maror, taste the bitterness of the maror, paralleling by Yemoru es Chayehem. But Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, however, he brings down from the Rabbeinu Chananel and also from Rabbeinu from Rashi, Pirush, Bala Maror Yotze. They have a different gears here. They say even if you swallow the Maror whole, while that's not ideal, just like with the Matzah, you are Yotze. But how come? If you really need the Tam Maror for Vayemoru es Chayehem, so then Taka, it should have said Lo Yotze. So he says, Efshar Shlo Yebo Tam Maror. It is impossible that when you're swallowing the maror, that some of the bitter taste still will not be detected. Rava continues, he says, Bola matzah umara, if you swallow them both together, so then, yidei matzah yotza, you will still fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, however, yidei maror lo yotza, but you don't fulfill the mitzvah of maror. The Rashbam explains, we're talking here, that you are bola matzah maror yachad, v'lo ochal adayin, Lo mizeh. You didn't do it the way we said you should do it a few moments ago. They first have the matzah, then have the maror, and then do the hillel, zechel, and mikdash, and korech them together. But you just went straight to doing the hillel, korech them together. So in this situation as well, yidei matzah yotza, yidei maror lo yotza. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of maror. Rashbam explains, ho, the lo loasu, since you didn't chew it, and since you ate the matzah with it, you can't say, according to the Girsa that the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel had, that you efshar shelo yebo tam mara. Here you can say that because the tam of the matzah is going to nullify ein lo shum tam, because the matzah is going to go and nullify any little bit of the remnant of the taste that you might have had of the mara. Now, why did you have to tell us this? It's again the exact repetition. We said before, if you're bala matzah, you yotze. If you're bala maror, you yotze. So why would you think that if you eat them together, that there'll be any different? So Rashbam says that it tells us this is a chiddush over here because the ikar tarti l'riusa. Here you have two things. Shlo tom tam matzah. You didn't even taste the tam of the matzah. And gam lo noga bigrono. Here you could argue that it didn't even touch your palate, your back of your throat. Sham maror chotzeitz. So you might have thought that the mara is like a chatzitza, so you don't even have that it went through your mouth. It was like a sieve, which we'll have in a second. So you might have thought that the mara functions to prevent you from being yotze with the matzah. So mashmalon, that even if you eat the matzah and the mara together, and that's the first time you're eating them, you're still yotze the matzah, you're not yotze the mara. Tosus asks a very good question. Dira Masli, Yidei Matzah Yotzi, Yidei Maror Lo Yotzi. He says, Im Tomar, Kivan Shein B'Maror Zeh Mitzvah Midrabanan. Since you're not Yotzi this Maror, the Mitzvah Midrabanan, then we should say, Libato Maror Lahai Matzah D'Badei. So why doesn't the Maror now go be Mavatel the Matzah? So he says, Yesh Lomar, Lo Shayach Bittul. There is no concept of Bittul unless Ela Kishalo Osun Yachid. If you're chewing them together, the Oz Mavatel Tam Echor is Chaver. Then one can be Mavatel the other one. If you're swallowing them whole, not chewing them, even if one is more than the other, even if you have more maror, let's say the matzah, it can't go and nullify it. Okay, those are the first three statements the Rav made, matzah alone, maror alone, and then matzah, maror together. In each situation, the matzah yotze, the maror you're not yotze. Then he tells the last statement, kirochon b'siv, if you put them inside a tube, a sieve literally is something like a palm branch that you use, and you put it down your throat, and then you slide the food down. This, we would say, this would be a tube, a feeding tube. So if you have a feeding tube, a nasogastric tube, some sort of a tube that goes from your back of your mouth down into your stomach, so that's the sieve, krochem b'siv. If you wrapped up the matzah and the maror, either one alone or together, and put it down through a tube, ubalon, and that's how you swallowed it, afide matzah, nan lo yotze. Because here, you do have the tati, the reusa, that it didn't touch your pharynx, it didn't touch your palate, it didn't touch your back of your mouth, and you certainly have no taste from it. So in this situation, even the matzah, you're not yotze. Our Rishimi Barashi, the more continues, Rishimi Barashi tells us, matzah lufnei kol echod v'echod, that we have separate lecha mishnah, matzah, in front of every single person at the Seder, and mara lufnei kol echod v'echod, and you have a separate mara in front of every single person at the Seder, and the charosis lufnei kol echod v'echod, and you have to have charosis also in front of every single person at the Seder. Rashbam explains, Minuk shelahem hoyo lohosiv al hamitos. They would lie down on the beds on the floor almost. Vayashulchan lufnei kol echad v'echad. They would eat with their own personal table, and therefore hilkach tzarich matzah umara lufnei kol echad v'echad. They had their own table. Al shulchan no, on their own individual table. Everyone had to have their own individual matzah, umara, and charosis. However, the Rashbam says nowadays avol didan, well, we don't eat individual tables lying in on a bed on the floor. So ain't tzarich, we don't need this. Kiyim lufnei mishosa seder, the bala seder, the one who's running the seder, so he has the seder plate in front of him, he has the matzahs, and he distributes them to everybody. V'yichalik l'kol echad matzah mor, and he'll give it out to everybody. And Tosa says the same thing. Nira, in Dibra Masul Matzah, he says, Nira, the tama, kidei shiyitom, take it for the bracha. This way, each of them can go and taste it immediately for the bracha. Kiva, shizos ha-bracha, he l'shem chova. So the rest of the year, if they distribute it, and you have to wait a little bit, it's nishkefela. But on the Pesach night, when you have to have the bracha, it's part of the mitzvah, so to say. So therefore, it's not just a bichas nenin, the hamotzi that we make all year long. So if you wait a little bit, it's not nishkefela. But here, it's al mitzvahs matzah. So then you have to make the bracha al achilas matzah. So that has to be right when you eat it. So therefore, everybody should have their own matzah right in front of them. Same thing for the maror. The maror continues and says, "V'ein okrin es hashulchan elif nemishom ragoda." However, when we do the various things like removing the table, so the young child will ask the questions, "What's going on? We haven't eaten yet. Why are you taking away the table?" That you only have to do for the one who says the agoda. There's one person that leads the agoda, so he's the one that's going to make the cut and ask questions. What are you doing? What are you doing? And therefore, he's the only one that you have to remove the table from in front of. The rest of the people can leave their tables there. They don't do all sorts of various manipulations. People take the Seder plate off, put the Seder plate back, cover it up, move it away, all these things to raise the interest of the child to say, what are you doing? So we don't have to do that except for the Baal Haggadah, the one who is actually saying the Haggadah. Rafuna disagrees. Rafuna Omer, Rafuna says that you don't have to put matzah and maror and charosis in front of everybody, even in those days when they had their own table, their little own shulchan. All of these things are only placed in front of the Baal HaGadah, the one who's actually saying the Seder, leading the Seder. He needs to have matzah mara, and he can distribute it to everybody else, like we do with our tables nowadays. Rav Huna says even in those days, when they had their own shulchan, you can do it that way. And we paskin the Hilchosot ki Rav Huna, and we paskin like Rav Huna. Gemara continues and says, Lama okrin es hashulchan, why do we take the table away? So again, I've already mentioned, Amri Devei Rav Yanai, and this is an overriding principle, I've said this many times, of the Seder night. So they said in the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai, Kedei Shiakiru Tinokos Vishalu. So the children will see something's unusual over here. We didn't eat yet. Why are you taking away the table? So therefore, they will ask questions, and we're supposed to, he got it to Labincha. It's supposed to be in a Socratic style that you ask questions and give answers, ask questions and give answers, and therefore, that's why we say at pesachlo. That's why if they can't ask the questions, we go and ask the questions for them. And this is the style of the Seder. This is the way the Mesorah is most effectively transmitted. Abaye, Abba Yosef, Kamei Rabba. Now, Abaye was an orphan. His father, we mentioned many times, Nebuch died shortly after the conception, and his mother died during childbirth. So he was raised in the house of Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And therefore, when Abaye was a young son, in the house of Rabba, so Chaza de Kol Madle Takam Ikameh. He saw that they took the table away from in front of Rabba. So Chaza de Kol Madle Takam Ikameh. They took the table away from him, and he said, Omar Lahu, Abai said to Rabba and all the other people that say that, what's going on? Adayin lo koachlinon. We didn't eat yet. Asu koma akre takam ikamon, and you're taking the table away? What's going on? So Amalei Rabba. So Rabba said, Eshkayach, Pitarta Milom Manishtana. Ah, we don't have to say the Manishtana. Some say you don't have to say any of the Manishtana because you're basically fulfilling this idea that we're asking questions. So, oh, good. Ah, you saw Taka, now we can go and discuss the answer. Avdim Ayinu Leparu Mitzrayim.
Others say, no, that it doesn't mean that Petarti Milo Manishtana. Now we can go say the Manishtana. Now this is it. This is the start of the Manishtana. Maybe you said part of the Manishtana. Now we'll go through the rest of the Manishtana. As Tosos says, the bottom Tosos, Klomar, Mitol Kach Yavu Lishol B'Sharetron. You're going to ask all these other questions. Avu B'Mesh Shol Lomo Onu Okun HaShulchan Lo Yipoter Mimanishtana. That in and of itself isn't going to exempt him from saying the Manishtana. V'Hida Abayi Lo Pirusha Gemara El Tchila Sheiloso. And there's stuff missing over here, so to say. The Gemara is just saying this was the start. This was the only part of what Abayi asked. Abayi actually asked a lot of other questions, and that's why Rabbi responded, Pitartin Miloma Manishtana. All of your questions you asked, not just why we're taking away the table. You asked, why are we dipping over here? You see that there's a couple of dips over here. You see that there's other strange things going on over here, that we pour a second cup and we haven't yet drunk we haven't yet eaten the meal, so why are we pouring a second cup? So all of these things Abayi Mestoma asked. Now, how come? It's a very good question. Why don't we say that there are four cups of wine? Why doesn't the Manishtan include, why do we have four cups of wine? So the answer is that we didn't have four cups of wine yet filled up. As opposed to, they see the Mara in front of them, they see that there is going to be things to dip into, so therefore, certain things we ask in the Manishtan are other things we don't necessarily ask. Mark continues to say, Amar Shmuel, when the Pasuk tells us, Lechem Oni, now, we're not going over the word kasiv, but it's the pasuk says lechem oni. So, what does it mean? So, we had this discussion earlier in the Masechta. Lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. Now, here we don't have the word harbe, but that's the girsa that we had previously. So, lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. That this is a bread that we play on the word oni, which means bread of affliction or bread of poverty, but we also use it as a play on the words that we say on it. Many things. In other words, we say the Haggadah on it. The Bryce says the same thing. Lechem oni. What does he mean, lechem oni? Lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. Here we have the word dvarim harbe. We say many things. We read the Haggadah with the matzah at the end of the Haggadah. So lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. Dovracher, alternatively, lechem oni is a play on the word oni ksiv. So it's spelled, it's pronounced oni, but it's spelled oni. And therefore, this is the bread of the poor man. This is the bread that a oni eats. So we are making ourselves like an oni. Ma oni shadarko befrutza, just like an oni. Always puts away a little bit for a rainy day, so he doesn't eat the whole thing at once. So he eats some and saves some, because he doesn't know for sure that he's going to have food later on. We turn to Kuf Tezayin with Aleph. So to over here, at the night of the Seder, it's lechem oni. Afkan beprusa. So we break the middle matzah, and therefore we are similar to the oni. Tosus brings down that that's why we have three matzahs, for the opinion that you need to still have lechem mishnah, so you're breaking the middle matzah, using half of it for the afikomen, and half of it you're going to eat later on, so therefore we have three matzahs. Not everybody agrees to that. The Vilna Gaon and others say no, that you don't need the lechem mishnah. You have lechem mishnah by having the prusa as well as one full one. In any event, the minhag amongst many is that we have three matzahs. When we break the middle one, we still have lechem mishnah left. Dover Acher, another reason why it's called lechem oni, a poor person doesn't have servants, so he has to go work with his wife, and they go and make the bread. So to over here, that in this situation, the husband wants to go and help with the making of the matzah to make sure that it's never a delay and it doesn't become chametz, so they work together as a team in order that the matzah shouldn't become chametz. Gemara continues and says, "Afal pishen charosis mitzvah." We said in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama holds that the charosis is not a mitzvah. We dip it because of the kapha. So the Gemara asks, "Vilo mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. Mishum mai mai sulos. So why do we dip it? Why do we bring the charosis to the table? So Amar Ravami, mishum kapha. So that's what we explained previously, because of either this poison or these insects that are dangerous that are inside the chasa, so they're killed by the charosis. Amar Ravasi. Ravasi says, "Kapha the." Treatment for this kappa, if you did have it, is the kappa that comes from the chasa, that comes from the romaine lettuce, is to eat a chama. Chama, Rashbam says, is a radish. As the Rashbam says, mish ocha chazeres v'chola b'shul kappa, if you ate this chazeres and you got sick because of the kappa, yochal tznon, eat a radish, v'rapi, and that's the cure for it. If you have kappa de chama, if you get this poison from eating the radish, so then karti, the treatment for that is to eat a leek. Kappa de karsi, if you get the poison from the karti, so then chamimi, go and have hot water. And kappa de kulu, and in general, the treatment for the kappa, for all of these, is chamimi, is to drink hot water. Adahochi v'ahochi, name ahochi. And by the way, there's an incantation that you also say when you do this. Kappa, kappa, dochir naloch, uleshav bin osayich, uletamne kalosoch. Now, we can translate what the words means, but the Mefarshim seem to say that this is just an incantation. You say, kappa, kappa, there's poison over here. I remember you and your seven daughters and your eight daughters-in-law. But this is mostly an incantation. Then the Gemara says that as opposed to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, he holds the opinion, Omer mitzvah, he says that the eating of the charoses is itself a mitzvah. My mitzvah, what type of mitzvah is this? So we have two opinions. This is a reminder of the tachas tapuach, that we sat underneath the tapuach when the Noshim Sidkonio saved us from the difficult, back-breaking work that we were doing, and they encouraged us to have children. So therefore, this is a reminder of this tachas tapuach. As the Rashbam reminds us, we learn in the Masechah Sota, Sheyoldo Shom B'neim, below Eitzah, that they gave birth to their children underneath those trees, Shliyakir Ben Mitzriim, so the Mitzriim wouldn't realize, as the Pasuk says, Dixiv, Tachas HaTapuach Or Articha. So that's from Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Zeich Latit. This is a reminder of the bricks that we have to make, of the clay and the bricks that we have to make, the mortar that we have to make in Mitzrayim. Therefore, we have to go and make it somewhat acidic, somewhat tart, somewhat sharp for the charoses. And also, you also have to make it somewhat thick. So, to make it over here somewhat sharp, is that's to remind us of the citric acid, of the citrus fruit. To make it thick, is that's the bricks that we're making, the mortar, the clay that we have to make. So therefore, we put in those types of ingredients. We have a brisa that supports what Rabbi Yochanan said, that zechel etet. It says in the brisa, tavlin zechel etevin, that we put in various types of cinnamon and other spices in the charoses, and that's a reminder of the tevin, of the straw that we have to make the bricks with. Charoses, and the charoses itself, is zechel etet. That is a reminder of the bricks that we have to make. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok, Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok said another thing, hayu omrim tagrei charoch shirushalayim. The Rashbam brings down the word charoch is metis min acharochim, that this is like the windows. Chenvonim hayoshim etzel chanu yoseim umochun. So this is like the vendors that are going and selling this stuff by the windows. So these tagri charoch shibushalayim, they would say as follows. Bo utzlulachem tavlim le mitzvah. Go and go buy yourself these tavlim that we're selling for fulfillment of the mitzvah. So this is a raya to Rabbi Elazar, Rav Tzadok, that you have this as a mitzvah. Tosus brings down, Mashma da'aloch Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok, based upon this. V'gam b'svarim kosev Rav Yosef v'nimuka imo, v'chenosar Rav Yosef b'sidro, charos ezech letit. So this is the correct thing, and we do this, albeit we don't say a bracha on the charoses. With this we conclude today's shir.